This is FYI Brownsville Weekly Podcast by the Brownsville Herald. I'm Ryan Henry, the editor.
I'm Frank Garza, the county reporter.
And today we're here at the sports park with a representative from our local fire department, Desi.
Yes, my name is Desi Tristan. I'm assigned to the training division, titled as a training specialist.
Okay, great. And the reason why we're at the sports park and not the fire department is because
we're here to see a drone fly today.
And the fire department has been using recently, in recent years, drones, but they've got a special one. We're going to get more into that. But first, Desi, tell us about your history and how drones became part of the fire department.
Okay, great. So I've been with the fire department about 15 years now, in several positions, starting as a firefighter, a paramedic, a driver, and now recently as a training specialist. But over those years, kind of off-duty, I'd have the hobby of flying RC helicopters, of building them, learning to fly them, crashing them, rebuilding them again.
And it seems like that seems like something I've seen more and more people in Brownsville doing at different parks, and they're trying to learn how to race them and all this other stuff. You didn't do races. You were old school before all that came about.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, old school RC helicopters, or they were called 3D helicopters, could not hover themselves. They didn't have the computers or the gyros to hover themselves.
That's weird to me. Like, you have a helicopter and it can't hover. So that's different than what drones became and what they are today, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now they're fully automated to where you don't even need to know how to fly one. If you basically play any kind of first-person view video game, you can just jump on these controls and know how to fly it.
That's amazing. I crash a lot in video games still, but
I feel like you just saying that means that we're going to see a lot more drones now in Brownsville.
Very possible. I think once people realize how easy these drones are, then a lot more people are going to be purchasing them.
Well, from my perspective, I would see it as fun and games. But a drone, in your case, is serious business that can save property or help with the work that you're doing. But before we get started, there may be people out there that don't know what we're talking about at drones. Maybe they've seen it on news and they're thinking one thing. You know, military drones are not what we're talking about. What are we talking about? What is a drone?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So we use the term drone because most people are familiar with the term drone, but it's really an unmanned aerial system, a UAS. In this case, it's a small UAS because it's under 55 pounds. So it's technically called a SUAS.
You say small, but it's pretty big. Like, it's maybe like 2 foot square, or like, no, not square, but two foot.
You're right, 2 square foot. So this one that we're looking at, let's just come out and say it's a DJI Matrice 210. It's made for public safety use and industrial use. So it's still under 55 pounds. I think this one in particular is probably 5 pounds altogether. Compared to the Mavic Pro.
Out of the blue question, has the department giving this drone a nickname?
You know what?
It looks like a flying beetle.
Correct. So when we register it, we do have to come up with a nickname. So I'm not a very creative person, so I called it Fire Department Drone 1.
Well, if anybody listening out there has any recommendations for a nickname, maybe we should do a contest and get this thing named.
Yeah. Look it up online at the Matrice 210. Take a look at it and see if you can come up with some names. But again, we don't want to scare the public. This is a public safety tool, so let's keep it friendly.
Desi, tell us. You started out with the first drone that the department started using was your own, right? Tell us about that.
Correct. So
it wasn't this drone. It was more of a affordable one, right?
I've been keeping track of DJI since they came out. And when they first came out, the drones were several thousands of dollars just to begin with.
Wow.
So it wasn't until the past couple of years that their prices on the Phantoms, for in particular, dropped down to under $1,000, and then dropped down to under $500 for the Phantom 3 Standard. And Sam's was selling it. So I bought it at Sam's, and I told my wife I was going to use it for work, so that she wouldn't give me a hard time about spending the money on it. So I started with the Phantom 3, and as soon as I launched that at home and found out how easy it was to fly, how stable and safe it was to fly, I introduced it to the fire department.
And like, one of your first runs, what was it? with the cameras. It had a video, right?
So yeah, the first Phantoms that came out, you had to buy a GoPro and then a separate mount to mount it on, things like that.
Wow.
Oh, so when it got to the third edition of the Phantom 3, they actually, DJI started making their own cameras that were already included with the platform. We call it platform. So it was all in one price of $500.
What was the first mission, I guess, if we can use that term for it? It was a fire downtown, right?
You know what? That was one of the first few. But the actual first mission after testing it out with the fire department was for a possible body recovery at South Padre Island.
Really?
They requested our dive team, which I'm a part of. They wanted us to search for a missing drowned victim that had been missing for 3 days. So part of our protocols, once we arrive on scene, is to walk around the area to see if the bodies come up. That can take a lot of time, especially walking up and down the jetties. So I asked permission to use the drone. We were working with the Coast Guard. We asked permission to use the drone to look for the possible missing body. And we got permission. So we used it, and it was amazing and how much it helped us.
And wow, that really kind of broadens my thoughts about what the usefulness of this was, because I was thinking that y'all were using it to just pretty much gauge and assess fires and damages and go places kind of above aerial views for fires. But now I'm seeing, like, even there might be use for this with even the police department, fire department during charo days for, like, assessing crowds and such.
That's definitely a great point, especially after what happened in Las Vegas. Nationwide, they're talking about how incidents in Las Vegas with those mass shootings can be avoided. They've already mentioned the use of helicopters, which can be very expensive, and the use of drones to keep the public safe, to make sure there's no threats out there.
Could you tell us a little bit, because the first drone that you all used was your personal drone, correct? But this drone that we're looking at here today is the fire department's drone. How did that come about? How did you get this drone?
Okay, so like anything else, to start up the program, sometimes you just got to invest some of your own personal funds to get the program started. So with that, I quickly upgraded from the Phantom 3 to the Mavic Pro, which was an excellent 4K camera and drone to use. And while using that for missions with the fire department, the city and civilians and our administration found out the importance of the drone. So we quickly gained support for the program. While doing that, we were able to use the Mavic Pro to help save a civilian's house that was threatened by a grass fire heading towards the house. When he arrived to ask if he had to evacuate his family and if his house was in danger, I had the drone in the air. I showed him on the screen where the fire was, where his house was, and where we were strategically placing our fire apparatuses to protect his house. Once he saw that, he was blown away by the technology, asked if it was a fire department drone. I told him, no, at this time it's mine, but we're trying to purchase our own drone. He says, okay, is it going to have thermal capabilities? I said, we'd like it to. He said, all right, then I'll make you an offer. I'll offer you guys $10,000 if the city will match the other 10. So I said, okay, I'm going to take you up on that offer.
Wow. So how long have you been flying this new upgraded thermo imaging video drone?
Great. So as a fire department, it took us about a year to raise the funds for the drone. We actually set an account aside with the city's permission to raise funds for the drone. So we raised our half, and the donor gave us his half. He kept his word on it. And so we got this new Matrice 210 about a month ago. It just actually, it's the newest and greatest from DJI. It was on back order, so we're one of the first in the nation that has this platform.
And so, like you said, it's almost like a video game, so you probably took to it like a fish with water at this point with your experience and its ease of use, right?
Yes, correct. So the DJI has electric logs that log all your flight hours. So over the past year, I have about a week's worth continuous of flight hours. If I were to launch right now and not land, I would be flying for like a week straight with all the hours I have.
So, you know, and that's a good point. Like, how long is the battery of these drones? How long could it fly without landing and recharging?
So this one has a dual battery system, not only for redundancy and safety, to where if one battery gives out, the other battery will land it safely. But the two battery system also gives it a longer flight time of over 30 minutes. And with the package that we ordered, we have enough batteries and chargers to basically land the drone, hot swap it, which means we can keep one battery connected while we switch the batteries, and so the drone remains on the whole time, and then we can launch it so the drone never turns off. So we have enough batteries to stay in the air around the clock.
And safety-wise, if this is flying overhead traffic or a crowd, what reassurances do we have in the public that if something goes wrong, it's not going to come down hard upon us?
Great. So that's a great question. So this drone is designed with all these safety features, redundant features, which means it has a dual computer system. So if one goes bad, the other one kicks in, dual compasses, dual GPS, dual batteries. This drone is designed not to crash. It also has sensors in front and the bottom, including sonar sensors, infrared sensors, and a sensor on top. Basically, this won't crash unless somebody physically crashes it into something.
It's like a $20,000 car. You don't want to crash it.
Correct.
But if you did crash it, I mean, it looks as though it would be pretty durable enough to take a hit a little bit.
Yeah, depending on the height and everything like that. And in addition, the payload, we call it, the camera systems that we have on it, including the thermal camera and the live camera, the thermal cameras are known to take quite an impact to where they may not, if they do break, it's usually a glass on the inside that just can be replaced or repaired, and then we still have the thermal camera.
How close could you fly it to the fire without the heat damaging any of its components?
So that's a great question, and that's where another topic of why don't we just have civilian pilots come in and fly for the fire department. It's that firefighting experience that lets me know how close we can or cannot get to a fire. So I need to constantly monitor that. But now we have the thermal camera that actually has a thermal feature on it that gives me the exact temperature. So I can get a temperature reading on the fire to know that, hey, it's too hot. Not only for the drone, but for our fire personnel that might be on the roof or inside the house that may need to come out.
You know, they use sort of like those robots and bomb squads and stuff to get in where it's unsafer. Is the drone used ever to sort of gauge the intensity of a fire before somebody gets there? Do you have other equipment for that type of stuff?
Yeah, so the thermal cameras is not new to the fire service. We have thermal cameras that we've received on grants that the fires can wear on them and take into the fires. But what's new about this is a flying thermal camera. So it gives that extra sense of protection from the outside, to where some of my firefighters have commented to me that they feel a lot safer knowing they have eyes above watching them in case they get in trouble or get in danger, that somebody knows that somebody's over them watching them.
Oh yeah, that would be a reassurance. And we don't have a lot of tall structures in Brownsville, you know, we're downtown or different stuff, but we're not dealing with like some cities where they're having like high rises and such.
So. Yeah, correct. But you did bring up one of our incidents with a tall building. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it downtown.
It was it a used clothes store, like a Reposada? Was it one of those?
No, it was a multi-story apartment complex that is vacant at this time.
El Jardin?
Yes. Yeah, El Jardin.
It was El Jardin.
So we had that fire on New Year's Day. Co-friend just come in. It was below freezing or at freezing temperatures. And our ladder trucks that can have basket ladders that go up to 100 feet were already fully extended, shooting water to the top of the roof where the fire was, and they couldn't get any higher. So I was called in. I launched the drone in freezing weather with winds over 30, 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I was able to get an aerial perspective to see that the water streams were actually just barely missing some of the hot spots that were still burning. So from the air, we were able to the incident commander was standing right next to me. We were able to radio to the firefighters on the basket and tell them, hey, you guys are missing the fire by about 2 feet. Just move that water stream over by 2 feet. And they did, and they put out those hot spots. So we got it done quicker.
Wow, you know, it's like a little thing you wouldn't know. You wouldn't otherwise know. You'd be fighting that fire for a while and you not winning.
Yeah, and dumping all the water. And so using city water, which we try to be efficient with, and it's taking longer to put the fire out and possibly putting more people in danger.
So for the most part, the Federal Aviation Administration will regulate who can use a drone and why. You know, if you just want to go get a drone and fly it around as a hobby, then you're probably okay. But the moment that you start using it commercially or for other purposes, there's rules. Are there any rules that you have to abide by with the FAA as a fire department?
Correct. Yeah. So the FAA has a whole pages of rules that we have to follow, and so I was able to initially when I got started, I took an online training course to learn all that pilot knowledge. It's basically the same pilot knowledge that manned aircraft pilots have to use, except I don't have to pay to get my flight hours in a plane. So I studied up on all the pilot knowledge, and then took the test with the FAA and became a certified FAA. Small UAS pilot.
Does the department need a license for this?
So as of last August 2016, with the Part 107 pilot's license, you're able to fly for the fire department. It's just like any other manned aircraft pilot. They're a pilot. They can fly for government entities, government agencies. So that's what I am. I'm actually a pilot. But my aircraft is an unmanned aircraft.
And do you know if the city's talking in any terms of how the public might be using drones into the future, you know, as a public safety perspective, if there is somebody else flying drones during festivals or different stuff for video or stuff, what's the police and the fire department's response on that? Who takes charge into looking into that?
So that's, since all this technology is new nationwide, all these municipalities are looking into that. That's a great topic, and we can talk for days on that topic.
Well, we're running out of time.
So basically, they're coming down to counter-drone programs, and the subject matter experts, which would be our fire department in this case, will advise the city, if requested, on how to do the counter-drone, I guess, surveillance. I don't like to use the word surveillance, but just to keep the public safe from other pilots that aren't as experienced or might be doing something dangerous. So you just can't take a drone out of a sky, though. But what we can do is, if somebody's flying dangerously with their own private drone, I can launch my drone to see where they're going, what they're doing, and where they're going to land. And then I can follow them back, and then we'll educate them. We'll educate them to, like, hey, this is a little bit dangerous. Maybe you shouldn't be flying over people, things like that.
It's getting very sci-fi future, but we're out of time. If you're listening to the podcast, you might want to check out, we're going to try to fly this next. And so we'll be putting a video up online. Scope that out, search it out. Maybe we can put a link on the description of this podcast. But that's it for FYI Brownsville. Thanks, Desi.
Yeah, great. Thank you all. Great questions.
And thanks for listening, everyone.